Welcome to Tordi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Vester, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel, Perek Mevav, Chapter 46. In our previous perek, we discussed the role of the king as restricted. He does not have power over the mikdash. He is not allowed to take goods or lands from the people. Instead, he has a prescribed land and a prescribed salary. This will hopefully help him stay uncorrupted and fulfill his role as the arbiter of justice for the people. On the other hand, the king does have an elevated position. He gets a special nachala from Hashem, one that is very large. He is elevated over the people and lives as close to the Beit HaMikdash as is possible to live for a person who's not a Kohen. In part of his land, his land juts up against the land, the end of the land of the Kohanim. And there is a strength and a stature that is granted to the Nasi, to the leader, that makes him able to fulfill his role as a representative of the people. Rav Benny Lau sees this same dynamic playing out in Perek 46, that the king is both elevated and restricted at the same time. Perek 46 begins, Ko Amar Shem Elokim, Shar HaChatzer HaPnimit HaPoneh Kadim Yesagur Sheshet Yimei HaMaaseh U'B'Yom HaShabbat Yipateach U'B'Yom HaChodesh Yipateach. So Hashem says, the gate of the inner court that faces the east shall be shut during the week for 6 days, but on Shabbos it shall be opened, and on Rosh Chodesh it shall be opened. Uba Hanasi Pasuk Bet Derech Ulam Hashar Michutz Va'Amad Al Mizuzat Hashar Va'Asu HaKohenim Et Olato Ve'Shloma Ve'Shtachave Al Miftan Hashar Ve'Yatza Va'Shar Lo Yisager Ad Ha'Erev. That the prince will enter by the way of this opening, this ulam, this hallway from the gate outside, and will stand next to the doorpost, next to the mizuzah, and the will watch as the Kohanim take his korban in, his ola and his shlamim, and he will bow at this threshold of the gate, and then he'll go back, and this gate will not close then until the evening. So on the one hand, we have a picture of a closed gate that delineates the Beit HaMikdash away from the rest of the people. The gate itself differentiates between Kodesh and Chol, holy and mundane, and you notice it differentiates between Shabbat, which is holy, and the other days of the week, which are chol. And on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, the Nasi is allowed to visit the Beit HaMikdash. In Perek 44, two prekim ago, we also read about the Eastern Gate. And there, Yecheskel said that it was shut all of the time. So this is just a discrepancy between these two prekim. Rashi and Radak think that this Sha'ar HaChatzer HaPnimit, this gate of the inner courtyard of Perek 46, is a different gate than Perek 44, where it said Shar HaMikdash HaChitzon, the gate of the outside gate of the Mikdash, which is also on the east side. And that one, they say, was shut all the time, and this one is shut some of the time. The Gra, however, thinks that it's the same one, that this Perek is modifying Chapter 44, that the gate is shut most of the time, but it does open on Shabbos because Shabbos is the day of the Kedusha, and it's in that day that the Beit HaMikdash, because the Beit HaMikdash does have to be sealed off away from anything that's whole, so on that day it can be opened. And as a special privilege on these holy days, the Nasi would come on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and bring his korban. And when he would leave, the gate would be open till the evening, and it would be open for the rest of the nation. Says Pasuk Gimel, V'yishtachavu am ha'aretz petach hashar hahu. The nation would stand and bow down at the entrance of that gate, b'shavatot v'chodashim, on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, l'fnei Hashem, before Hashem. Unlike the king, they're not allowed to come through the ulam. They can't go into the gate. They could only stand outside the gate at the opening, and they could look in. They're more restricted than the Nasi, than the leader who's allowed inside. However, the Nasi himself is still restricted. Even when he comes inside, he has to stay at the mezuzah. He cannot fully walk all the way in. He too has to look on at a distance, albeit a closer distance, as the Kohanim bring his sacrifice. So the Nasi has an elevated stature. He is able to go places that the people are not, and yet he is still restricted. He may not go on weekdays, he may not go into the actual Beit HaMikdash, and every step he takes is significant and shows his greatness, because he's the only one who's allowed to do it, and every step at the same time shows that he's a visitor. With strict rules, he may see more than other people, but he does not possess, he does not own this place of Kedusha. Rav Isaac Breuer points out the significance of this place that the Nasi stands, and this is a significant place to Yechezkel himself. This eastern gate was the same place that Yechezkel saw when he visited in his first vision to Jerusalem in chapter 11. And what he saw there was as follows. Vatisa oti ruach, says Yechezkel, this is in Perakid Aleph. Vatavo eti al shar beit Hashem akadmoni, hapone kadima, there it is, this gate that faces east. Vihinei bapetach hashar, 25 ish, there are 25 people there. Ve'er ebetocham et Yoznia ben Azor ve'paltiyahu ben Benayahu sarei ha'am, he sees these two princes of the people, Yoznia and Paltiyahu. Vayomer elai ben Adam, Ela ha'anashim ha'choshvim aven. Hashem says to me, these are the people who devise iniquity. They come up with sins, basically. Hayoatzim atzat rava yirazot. They give terrible advice and counsel in this city. What do they do? Ha'omrim lo b'karov b'nopatim hi hasir v'anachnu habasar. This is the place where Yechezkel saw these leaders that have no boundaries. They use their positions as arbiters of the Beit HaMikdash to tell them, this is the translation of that pasuk, the city is our pot and we are the meat. If you remember all the way back to Parak 11, they were trying to convince the people that the city of Jerusalem would protect them and they had nothing to fear from a rebellion against Bavel. This was not only disastrous political advice, but it was a misappropriation of their stature as the ones who felt like they owned the Beit HaMikdash and they could use it, meaning they use their position as standing in the Beit HaMikdash to influence the people, and it helps them advance their political agenda. Moreover, it was their belief in the fact that neither the Beit HaMikdash nor the city could ever really get destroyed. This was a religious belief that helped guide them and the people towards their own destruction. In the future, the Nasi will not be given this type of power. He will not own the East Gate. He does not own the Beit HaMikdash. He himself is a visitor, a very important visitor, who has a very high stature, but a visitor nonetheless. He also has to observe the boundaries between Kodesh and Chol, and while he can walk further than most people, he himself cannot walk all the way in. One exception to this rule is on the Shalosh Regalim, the three holidays where people come to visit the Beit HaMikdash, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And says the Pasuk Tet, Ubevo am ha'aretz lifnei Hashem b'moadim, when the nation comes before Hashem on the holidays, haba derech shar ha'tzafon, they will come by the North Gate, Lishtachavot, to bow down, Yitzei Derech Shar HaNegev, and they'll leave by the South Gate. Haba Derech Shar HaNegev, Yatza Derech Shar Tzafona. If you come by the South Gate, you'll leave by the North Gate. Lo Yashuv Derech HaShar Asher Ba Bo, Ki Nechacho Yitzei. So a person can't go in the same way that they came out. If they came in one gate, they have to leave through the opposite gate. So on those days, the people can enter. On the Shalosh Regalim, the people can enter the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash as they have a special sanction and obligation to be at Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, a phrase that Rabbi Lazar Mibalgenzi interprets as actually an obligation to stand in the Chatzar HaPnimit, the inner courtyard. And there's a special law then that when they come in, that's different than the law that the king has on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. He is allowed to leave how he comes in. However, on the Shalosh Regalim, both the people and the king have to leave through a different gate than they came in from. And this is so that they won't turn their backs ever towards the Beit HaMikdash. And for a certain amount of, when all the people are coming, there's really a stricter rule to make sure that they keep the Beit HaMikdash in its special place and with its special stature. Another privilege that's given to the Nasi is the ability to open the gate during the week, anytime he wants to bring a nedava, a voluntary korban, to Hashem. Says Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Ki yaseh ha-nasi nedava ola o shlamim nedava la-Hashem, when he wants to bring a voluntary korban, whether it's an ola or a shlamim, upatach lo et hashar ha-pone kadim, they open this eastern gate, va'asa dola tov et shlamav kasher yaseh b'yom ha-shabbat, he has the same rules as on Shabbos, v'yatza, and he can leave, v'sagar tashar achri tzitzo, and they close the gate after him, unlike when he comes on Shabbos, where they then leave the gate open for the rest of the day. The Nasi does not have to wait for Shabbos. Anytime he wants to come and bring a korban and connect to Hashem to donate, anytime he feels that his spirit is moving him to bring a korban, he can. But even then, he does not go in, but he can watch the Kohanim bring his korban and dedicate it to Hashem. Again, we see both the privilege and the restriction of the Nasi. The same thing comes up in the next section, which discusses the right that the Nasi has over his own land that was given to him as achuzah, as a possession from Hashem that we read about in the last parak. Says Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Ki Yitain HaNasi Matana Le'ish Mibanav. Let's say the Nasi gives a piece of land to his child, Nachlatohi Luvanav Tiyah. It belongs to him, and it can now belong to his children, Achuzatam Hi Benachala. It is their possession to be their Nachala. But, says, and says Pasuk Yichet, V'lo Yikach HaNasi Minachlat Ha'am, Lahonotam Me'achuzatam, U'me'achuzato Yanchi Lepanav. He cannot take any part of the land that belongs to somebody else of the nation to give over to his children. L'man asher lo yafutzu ami ish me'achuzato, because no person is allowed, should be disabused of their nachla, meaning each person deserves their nachla, and that includes the nasi, and that also includes the people from Bnei Israel. This land, this truma, does belong to the nasi himself and his family. It is actually his, and therefore he can pass it down to his family, and it will remain in his family's possession forever. However, it's not exactly entirely his. Says Pasuk Yizayin, the Pasuk that I skipped, Ki yitain matana minachlato la'achat me'avadav. If he gives a present from his land, meaning a gift of land to one of his servants, Ba'ita lo ad shnat hadror, then it is his until the Yovel, v'shavat lenasi, and then it goes back to this Nasi's family, ach nachlato banav lahem tiyeh, and eventually it will belong to his children. So if this Nasi decides to reward one of his loyal servants with land, the servant can keep the land, but it doesn't belong to him. So the Nasi does not have power over his land in terms of passing it on to anybody that he wants. So this servant can have it, but only for a specified time until the Yovel. Then the will of Hashem reinserts itself and everything goes back to the rightful owner, even land granted by the king. The king has possession over his land and also doesn't. He is elevated and he is restricted. It belongs to his family, but not exactly to him. The land of the king can't grow, and it also can't shrink. It really is given to him to have from Hashem. And all of this is geared towards holding him back from corruption, even as he is respected and elevated in the nation. And we spoke about that the king cannot take any land for sure from anybody else, from Bnei Yisrael. So the king's land is really especially demarcated. He can't give it up and he can't take more. And to a certain extent, this puts the king as this position between Kodesh and Chol, because he can bring a korban, because he gets special land, but not really. He's really Chol. He's really part of the mundane world, but he's the leader of the Chol. He's important and he's elevated, but he's restricted by the Kodesh, by the holy, both by the places he cannot go, by the sacrifices he cannot bring, and the land he cannot take, and he can't even give away. His portion, like his job, is his mandate from Hashem. He has a very important job, and he must do it with fairness, justice, and appreciation of his role in the world. Only then will all the correct people be doing all the correct jobs, and there will be order and symmetry in the Messianic world. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas Barbara Atlas Brachabas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.